I'm sorry, was that me?
What?
The phone beep.
Oh, yeah, that was you because I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is, though, we were there, and it was my brother and myself, and we were just waiting, and of course this light comes, because it's the thing is that it's got a ghost light on it, as well as Bigfoot is just in the general area, and all these things, it's just amazing stuff. The most haunted road or something is how they describe it, and all these things. So anyway, we're there, and we're waiting for this ghost light, and sure enough, this light appears down the road. It's pitch dark because it's got the canopy, you know, the canopy effect where the trees grow into each other above your head, so you can't see the sky. And
was it red or white?
This was a bright white light, and it's coming at us and coming at us, and soon it took form. It took the form of a sheriff's car. So I was kind of scared about that, but he pulled up and I said, "Yeah, I'm from Detroit, and you know the Detroit area, and I'm looking to see if I can see the ghost light and Bigfoot and all these things." And he explained that he didn't kick us out. You know, he seemed content to leave us there if we wanted to stay. And I said, you know, we just arrived like a half hour ago, and we're trying to catch the light, and if we can, then we can. If we can't, we can't. And he's like, well, you know, this is my job, and I've been doing this for however many years, and I mean years and years, and he says he can count on one hand the number of times he has not seen anything he can't explain on that road. And after that, he took off. You know, we chatted a bit, and he took off. And then we stayed another probably 30 or 40 minutes, and then we took off as well. But so we didn't see anything paranormal exactly, but we did get to talk to somebody, you know, in a position of authority who seemed to agree that that road is quite legendary, and he had experiences himself.
Well, it's kind of surprising that a Texas sheriff just left y'all there without taking any action at all.
Well, he was, if I remember right, it was Hardin County or something like that.
Okay.
And he was the county sheriff.
20 years of driving up and down a road in the woods probably would mellow you out a little.
If that was your job, yeah. But see, I think he's more there because there is obvious signs of partying that goes on that road.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so what happens is I think he was looking more for the troublemakers than us.
You know, on the subject of Bigfoot, I've heard you mention Bigfoot in East Texas before, and I haven't heard any real stories of Bigfoot sightings in a long time here in Texas, but there is a pretty rugged urban myth about the goat man in the Big Thicket. And this is kind of, you know, it's a pretty popular myth that hasn't been documented in any way. But there's like a goat man. He's half man, half goat, with the legs of a goat, you know, from the waist down, that lives in the Big Thicket of East Texas.
I don't know if I'd be scared of a goat man, because goats eat, like, what, tin cans and stuff, don't they?
Right. Well, me neither, but I mean, a long time ago, out towards Winnie, there used to be a sign up hanging in the trees, "Beware of the Goat Man."
Really?
And a while back, I was chatting with Dagita in the IRC room about that, and he said, I can't remember word for word, but he mentioned that some acquaintance or relative of his had a similar sighting up on the northeast coast, if I'm not mistaken. So evidently, this is a little bit widespread, too.
A goat man in the Big Thicket.
Yeah. A lot of my family out there claims, you know, that this is a true myth. I haven't seen it myself, so I don't know. But, it's a pretty popular story.
Interesting. I know that there is a book out called The Big Thicket, and that's how I had even heard of Bragg Road, was... I was listening to, I think at the time it was still the Art Bell Show, and it wasn't Coast to Coast AM, but maybe it was about the time of the changeover, but so this was, you know, like 2 years ago, and it was interesting, they had a fellow on who wrote a book called, I think, The Big Thicket, or something about The Big Thicket. It has Big Thicket in the title, So I'm sure Amazon.com would dredge up a search. And he was explaining about the hauntings in, you know, in the Big Thicket area. And so I looked into it briefly, just, and this was just before I was supposed to go to Houston. And I thought, well, you know, I got to check it out. So I typed in, like, Big Thicket Haunting or something. It came up with Bragg Road. So that's where I ended up going. And,
okay.
But I had only briefly heard the author on the show because that was one of my, probably one of my dyslexic nights where I was trying to do like 7 or 8 things at a time and couldn't do them, do any of them very well, you know. But
well,
I did hear about Big Thicket and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to do a search. I did the search and I ended up on Bragg Road.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of supposedly haunted roads here in the Texas area.
awesome. Those are my favorite.
They are cool, too. I mean, I think last time I talked to you, I told you about my trip out to Patterson Road. That's kind of towards the Katy area. I didn't really get any phenomena there that time, but I didn't really bring all of my equipment either. I didn't have a camera or anything with me, so I think the next I may try and check that one out again next weekend.
Well, sometimes just being there is more than enough. Just
exactly.
To go there and know that there's stories about this place.
It's
pretty freaky, you know. That's
see it
often,
for yourself.
Yeah, that's often more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, you'd be kicking yourself if, you know, a goat man walked up to you or something.
Oh yeah.
You'd be like, I didn't bring my camera, you know.
Yeah.
Make an appointment.
A few weeks ago, I got to make that trip out to Galveston with one of the listeners, Tori.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the website he goes as Too Damn Cool or something like that.
All right.
But he's from San Antonio, and we hooked up and went down to Galveston and did a nice little tour down there. He I don't know. He never got back with me about the EVP. I don't think he got any. He brought a really fancy audio recorder with him and took a lot of audio, but I got quite a few orb shots. That's in my album as well, the Galveston tour. That was on the 10th of this month.
Very interesting. Well, if you do talk to him and he's got he got any, we'll play it.
And there's also another listener. I don't have his nick handy with me at the moment, but I have his email. He lives down in the Alvin area, which is closer to the Gulf Coast. I'm going to try to get together with him when I can and check out some of the little small towns between Houston and Galveston and see what we can find there. So I've got some big plans ahead of me.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about them. So
I love it when the listeners email me. You know, that's really cool. I'm always looking for somebody new to go ghost hunting with, you know.
Well, excellent. I'm glad that's working out. Yeah, I get a ton of email, and I rarely ever actually reply, and I feel bad about that.
I'm still waiting on my reply. I emailed you like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's okay. I gave up.
Oh, okay.
I quit checking my inbox every day.
All right, I'll dig it out. I'll reply sometime, I think. I'll try anyway. Of course, now you've got the at ghostlytalk.com. I probably should.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been getting some interesting emails, too. I mean,
oh, really?
Cool. So everybody, you know, in the South Texas area, email me, 8bit@ghostlytalk.com.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what. We're butting up 7 o'clock our time, so it's what, six your time?
Yeah. 5 after, actually.
Oh, really? That clock. I'm on the side of the table with a clock because I'm sitting actually in Scott L's spot because he's not here.
Oh.
Uh-oh. I think he's digitizing, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
8-bit, you're digitizing.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll let y'all go.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you.
And
always fun.
And thank you, and happy ghost hunting, and let us know what you find out when you go out and
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. I sure will.
And I'm glad
you're
glad you're safe and sound from Rita, and all of my hopes and wishes and best to everybody down there who's affected to get their power back and get their lives situated because that was devastating.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was 8-bit.
Yes.
At ghostlytalk.com.
We got to make the next call.
All right. We're not going to do a break.
Ah, forget it.
Oh, okay. Well, then this will be a live call. Interesting. Let me try this. This will be neat.
I forgot what I put it under.
Oh, well.
Hold on.
Let's go to break then.
I
but I thought I thought that was fascinating talking to him. Because we got to hear about the hurricane stuff, and we got a quick thing about how the ghost hunting is going down there. All right, let me see what I can do with this. 555-1212. I have no idea if I dialed the right number.
Well,
is it in channel?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, is Lupinia there?
Oh, my God. Hello, Doug.
Well, hi there. We called you live on the air, so you're already in channel and everything.
Yeah, I'm my name's there. I'm not sure I am.
Uh-oh. Can you bring down her levels just a bit?
Oh.
So, well, welcome. This is Ghostly Talk, and you're on it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the hell I'm going to say.
Well, we have to knight you tonight.
Oh, is that going to happen tonight without Scott L. here?
Yeah, I'll have to do it. And then you'll have to pull up the sword and cut it for ears.
All right. Oh, is that what we do with it? I thought I was tapping on shoulders. But okay, we can cut off ears if that's what's necessary to get
you just got to tiptoe behind them.
Yeah. Well, tell us
don't
about
let them know you're coming.
Tell us about yourself. How's that? That keeps it wide open. That way you can say almost anything. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. What do you want to
ghost
know about?
Ghost hunting.
Well, I've been interested in the paranormal since I was, oh my, before my teens. My family's had a lot of experiences. My father, of course, rolls his eyes and says, you know, it's the wind or the trailer shifted or the house is settling or, you know. But I guess the spookiest thing that has ever happened with witnesses around, it was my mother, my sister, myself, and my father sitting in the living room. And we were watching television, and a shadow, a dark, solid shadow, walked from the hallway right across the front of us in the living room and out the sliding glass doors.
Did everybody see it?
Everyone but my father.
Figures,
I
right.
ran so fast my feet didn't hit the floor and I flew onto the couch beside my mother. And
wow.
Us girls are like freaking because we've always heard things around the house and things would be moved, but we'd never seen anything. And that was the first of many experiences we had with things, shadows moving, forms being there that nobody says they see, but nobody wants to walk back into that room afterwards, you know. So
see, I thought shadow figures were relatively rare compared to ghosts and other kinds of hauntings.
I don't know how rare they are. I also see shadows on the floor.
Okay.
You know, like if a mouse were to run across the baseboard of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something like that, but when I look, it's not
there's
there.
There's no actual mouse. There's just a
right.
shadow moving.
Right. And it's like, okay, time to up my Prozac or something.
I need a new prescription. Yeah.
Really? Really?
Wow.
But there's if it hasn't been with me, it's been with my sister or it's been at my parents' home. It seems to follow us. And actually, that kind of activity started after we came back from the Cameroons in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've gotten older and done more studying and, you know, gotten into more of the paranormal phenomenon that goes on, I think we might have brought something back with us, either through an item that was bought or given to us. We had fertility dolls, a male and a female. You know, they supposed to bless the household with children. And every morning we would get up, my mother would have to turn the mail back on the counter facing out towards the living room because he would always end up looking at the female.
Well, that's a pretty fertile fertility doll.
Yeah.
That's a really anxious fertility doll.
Well, apparently it had something to do with my parents' emotions or whatnot. The female kept falling off the counter and breaking. So my parents would fix it, you know, and we thought, okay, we'll switch them around. You know, we'll put the male on her side and her on his side. Well, I was sitting at the kitchen table with my mother, and my parents were getting very perturbed with us children. They thought we were doing it, you know, moving it and playing a joke on them and stuff. And we were sitting at the kitchen table, and he moved. And my mother saw it. And I was so excited that it actually moved, and she saw it move and saw it wasn't us. I didn't have time to be scared. You know, it was like, see, I told you we weren't doing it.
Wow. Did you guys end up getting rid of them, or are they still
no,
part
actually,
of the family?
They are in a bag in the closet at my father's house.
Okay.
The last time the female broke, he said he wasn't going to fix her again, and he packed them away.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you think maybe something attached to that or something else?
I really do. I really do.
Is it benign? Or does it, like, maybe upsetting, of course, when you first started noticing it. But other than that, is it, like, just become part of your life and not...
Yeah, there are times, like, things go on, and a lot of times I don't really notice it anymore. But if somebody's here that has never... You know, they're not used to it, and something happens, they're like, oh, my God, you know, and I'm like, what? What happened? Oh, that, just, you know, ignore it. I walked out from the kitchen one time. My son had been living with his father, and he came. He's laughing now. He knows what I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
He was sitting on the couch, and I had these Princess House globes that I used to put, I'd hang them on the wall, and I put betta fish in them. And I walked around from the kitchen with a cup of coffee in my hand, and I stopped. And I just smiled because the one globe that was over my son's head, he was sitting on the couch, was swinging. It was turning in circles. It would go to the wall, just miss the wall, and come back out. And it was doing this perfect arc at a nice speed. And I just smiled, and he looked and said, what? And he looked up to where I was looking, and he jumped up over the coffee table. Oh, my God, he said, you know. And, you know, stuff in the house would move all the time. We had the fire alarm, the smoke alarm, flew off the wall and into the middle of the floor. Now, you're thinking, okay, it falls off the wall, it falls off the onto the floor, it wasn't hooked in right. Well, the wires that were attached to it, they have the caps on them. You know how you twist the wires and you put those special caps on them?
Oh, yeah.
The caps were still on them and inside the wall.
Wow, it took some force to get that wire out of it.
Well, also, I have a deer's head hanging in front of it. So it came up and over the deer's antlers and landed in the middle of the living room floor. And this was in, there were at least 8 witnesses in the house at that time. You know, and...
That was amazing. That's interesting, too, because we ran into a situation just this past weekend. It wasn't as exotic, but what happened was we were at the at a haunted covered bridge in Indiana, and a rock flew at us, but it had to fly up from under the bridge through the little space between the wall of the bridge.
It didn't hit you, did it?
No, it fortunately landed just a couple feet from me, and then it rolled over to Scott L., and he trapped it under his foot. He, like, stomped on it. So it stopped rolling at that point. But what we did is we tried to recreate this. and it would have taken a lot of force. And that's why I mentioned, you know, it would take a lot of force to rip the wire apart like that. It would take a lot of force to make this rock fly as far as it did in the pattern that it did, and then actually roll as far as it did. It would have taken a lot of force, and we were all standing around in a circle trying to get EVPs. So that was a physical phenomena which amazed me. And now you're like, oh, well, that happens to me. This thing flew off the wall and over the deer's head. And what amazes me about it is the amount of force that would be necessary, because that's a lot. It's more than just, you know, bending up.
Because it's also defying gravity.
Right. It's going,
you know,
up and over.
This thing fell off the wall. You had a rock come up.
Right.
And over, you know, so that's
it came
that's
up
spooky.
From...
That spooks me.
Yeah, it came up and over and then landed a couple of feet from people, and it rolled over to Scott L., who trapped it under his foot. So that was something, and that's a lot of force, and it's a lot of force to tear wires apart, you know, from the caps and things like that. So
what bothered me was that the caps were still on the wires in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it was ripped off the wall, because then the wires would be hanging out. They were still curled up neatly in the wall.
Oh, I see. Oh, wow.
And that's why, I mean, that one spooked me, because when the gentleman that came to fix it, to put it back on the wall, because I wasn't touching it, I wasn't going to fry myself.
right.
Electricity.
Yeah.
When he came to fix it, he said, there's no way that could have happened. He said, are you sure it was hooked up? And I said, well, yeah, you know, you check it. You push the button and all that. And that's when we found out there was no battery in the damn thing. It had a battery in it, too, you know, as a backup.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it just, over the years, I mean, if I sit here and tell you some of the things that have happened, it's not like it happens all at one time.
Right.
And it seems to come in spurts. And I've noticed before certain holidays, it gets more active. You know, it's like, and I've noticed, too, when tensions are high in the house, so that tends to make me wonder about the poltergeist activity, how they say it has to do with the people in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, you know, there isn't something to that, too, because when emotions are high in the house, it seems like more seems to happen.
Interesting.
I had an ex-boyfriend get smart one time. He said, we were talking about some of the stuff that had gone on in the house, and he said, oh, my demons are more powerful than yours. And a fork flew from the table towards him and just missed his stomach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and he looked, and he went kind of pale. He said, did you see that? I said, yes, I did, and I'd watch your mouth from now on.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just strange stuff, you know.
Have you caught any of this on tape or on film?
We actually had a home movie. We had taken at my parents' house one Christmas. And on the television, they had one of these big screen televisions.
Right.
You know, they look like the theater TVs. They have, like, the funny front to them, not like a glass.
Right.
And
like a screen. Oh, so rear projection kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. Yep. Like a reflection.
Yep.
Yeah. And we had been, it was one Christmas, the children were there. My father had dressed up like Santa Claus. And we were taping this, and when we watched the tape afterwards, he had turned the camera onto the video camera onto the television to show what the kids were watching, which was some Christmas program or something.
Mm-hmm.
And down in the one corner of the screen, there was this face. And I said to my sister, what is that? And she said, it's a reflection. I said, Paula, these TVs don't reflect. I said, what is that? Well, we went over and over this tape trying to figure out what this face was on there. And we couldn't figure it out, and we went back over the tape a while later, and it wasn't there anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, well, maybe we were going crazy. We imagined it all, you know. So,
you imagined it, and
yeah,
and
it was a mass hallucination. It wasn't there.
Went over and over and over it,
and then it wasn't there anymore.
And then it disappeared right off the tape, and mm-hmm. so that convinces you that it just really was never there.
Right.
Wow. Because, you know, people don't do that.
I know, and it's, you know, I hear these stories that people tell. I've gone to some sites, and it's just ridiculous. I'm serious.
Why?
You know, somebody says they did something, and somebody says, oh, yeah, that happened to me, and everything that somebody's gone through, they've, you know, it's happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm afraid to say some of the things that have happened in my family, because people are going to think I'm full of it.
Well,
you know?
not us, that's for sure. So, what area of the country are you from?
I live in South Central Pennsylvania, about 20 minutes, east of Gettysburg.
So you know how to get to Saks Bridge.
Yeah.
Well,
I've been on there. So is my sister, and that's not a fun bridge.
Not a fun bridge?
No. My son says, that bridge is awesome.
Wow.
There's a lot of energy on that bridge.
Yeah. Well, it scares him? Okay.
That was my daughter.
Oh, it scares her? Okay.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Saks Bridge is we couldn't find it when we were in Gettysburg.
You couldn't find it?
We couldn't find it. We had like, sketchy directions at best anyway,
mm-hmm.
and little to no in the way of maps, you know, little to nothing in the way of maps. What the best we could do is it was, like, what, 11 or 12 at night, and we're driving around, we're trying to find it. I called my brother, who has, you know, an internet connection, and I'm like, okay, you got to look up Saks Bridge and tell us how to get there, and here's the road that we're on. And he told us, and he repeated and repeated, because I kept asking him, repeat it, you know, tell me again, how do you get there? Here's where we are. We drive a little ways, you know, to where he'd say to go, and there was nothing there. So we just were either really far off, or there was a communications thing gap going, you know, from what I was trying to describe and what he was trying to describe, but we could never find it. We tried that one night. And so one of the things we have to do when we get back to Gettysburg is we've got to go to Saks Bridge. And you have to show us, because we can't get there. We don't know how. So that's the plan, okay? Because uh-huh. I wouldn't know how to get there.
They've got that. And they actually have, you know, they have ghost tours in Gettysburg.
Right.
And I haven't been on one yet. I'd like to, just to see how, you know, a tour would go instead mm-hmm. of going by myself, you
right.
know, or with my sister Annette on a hunt. But we talked about that. I'd like to get a motel or hotel room some night in one of the places that are supposed to be haunted.
I think Cashtown Inn, which is outside of Gettysburg, about, what, 40-minute drive or 30-minute drive out of Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Cashtown.
That would be about 40 minutes from where I'm at.
Yeah, and it was, we ate there. We had lunch there one day, and it was amazing. I really enjoyed it. That was where I got the dessert, right? The creme brulee?
I had this intense love affair
with a thing of creme brulee because it was just that good.
It was
absolutely...
There you are.
Oh.
You guys went absolutely dead.
Sorry about that. But yes, I enjoyed a delicious creme brulee at the Cashtown Inn. So I'd like to stay there.
Oh, the calories.
And, tell me about it. But it was so good.
I bet.
And, it was an amazing dessert. And so we had eaten at the Cashtown, and I'd like to stay there if possible sometime. And of course, there's all kinds of... Pretty much everything in Gettysburg is haunted, so I guess almost anywhere you stay would be... You'd have an equal chance of getting activity.
The whole area, the one thing I noticed is when you walk in Gettysburg, it's very, there's almost a surreal feeling of the past just sitting beside you.
That's entirely true.
Yeah, and it's, it wouldn't surprise me to turn around and look to my left and see a soldier standing there.
Right.
I would not be surprised in the least.
Right.
You know, there's many, many stories of people who have gone during the time of the reenactments, have spoken to soldiers in the reenactments, and it has completely... hold on a second here.
Okay. We can hang out.
Yeah, my other phone was beeping. So.
Ah, thank you.
But there have been stories of people talking with the soldiers of the reenactment and come to find out they weren't even there. It was a ghost.
Oh, yes. And I've read a lot of stories like that.
Yeah.
Which are fascinating.
I would love to do that.
That would be something. But we're not allowed on the battlefield after, you know, after a certain time nowadays. But the whole town, I think even if you're not on the battlefields, if you're just, like, standing around almost any given place, that someone will be there who knows the history, and they'll be like, this was, you know, under the control of such and such a, you know, general or corporal or whatever they are, and they were, you know, working for the North, or they were for the South, and they were battling this way, and they had just advanced. And, you know, I mean, there's people who know pretty much every single step of the battle.
There are people that actually live the life, you know,
even when
reenactments aren't going on. They do a lot of their studying when it's not going on. They live their lives at home like that.
Right.
You know? To me, that's a little extreme, a little out there, but...
Depends on what you like.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
If I was into history, that'd be the place to go, you know. But I'm into ghosts and history, so that works out well for me, having such an interesting place.
We have a couple things we have to do before...
All right.
Before we have our guest tonight is calling us.
Okay. So, our guest will be calling in 4 minutes.
Lupinia, I have to say thank you so much. Those designs you created
for our site. My pleasure.
They're just amazing.
My pleasure. Anytime. I love doing stuff like that.
I have to agree. Are they still on the homepage?
No, they're not on the homepage. Which I gave her her own...
Her own album?
So.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Thank you guys so much for that. I was just tickled pink.
Well, you do, it's amazing work. I mean, you are truly gifted in the art department, I'm telling you. Creativity, man. I love it. Thank you.
I told Will anytime, and I also told Scott L., you know, I talk to him on Yahoo every now and then, and
mm-hmm.
I told him, you know, if you ever need anything, just let me know.
Wow.
You know? I'd be glad to try and work something out.
Absolutely awesome.
I appreciate you guys having me on here. I feel honored.
We have to knight you. Are you going to become
I was hoping you guys would just, like, overlook.
Can you be a field reporter for GT?
Sure can.
Awesome. And you're in the place for it, too, because you've got, undoubtedly, you'll see and hear all kinds of stuff that we would never know. And then, of course, you'll be able to come on any time and just say, hey.
I'd like to get out there this winter.
Oh.
I'd like to do... Awesome. I don't hear of many ghost hunts in the wintertime. I'd like to do it in the winter.
That would be amazing.
Different.
That would be amazing. Will, do you want to do the knighting ceremony?
Sure.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Okay, repeat after me. I state your name.
I state your name.
Will uphold the laws of ghostly talk.
I, Lupinia, will uphold the laws of ghostly talk.
And share the wealth of Pennsylvania.
And share the wealth of Pennsylvania.
To all the people in the chat room, the site, and the world.
To all the people in the chat room, the site, and the world.
Ow.
Boom, chicka,
chicka. Was art.
Or should I come out with boo bitch?
Boo, that works.
That works great.
That works.
Okay.
And then I'll... Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Ka-ching.
Such one ear or two. All right. Now I'll just tap you on the shoulders. And that's it. You are now the, South... the Pennsylvania
field reporter
for us. And
I am honored. Thank you.
If you hear of anything, any cool stuff, if you go out on a ghost hunt and get anything, if something happens in your case, if something happens to you in your home, you know,
sure.
Let us know, and you've got a spot. You can just
guys, would you do me
up.
A favor?
Of course,
sure.
Anything.
Tell Zarella.
Yep.
Well, she can probably hear me now. I know I said I didn't have a lot to say, but I'm nervous, okay? And I am enthusiastic. Give me a break.
Wow. Well, I think you did great. I think you don't sound nervous. You come across absolutely calm, cool, and collected, and that's it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I'm on top of the world right now. I am.
Well, thank you.
You guys have made my whole week.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Right. Later. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
That was awesome. That was totally awesome.
Yeah. She's going to be a lot of fun to have on board with us.
Well, that's true, and she has a lot of stuff happen to her, and so she's around it all the time. I think it's a physical phenomena, and that's something that I would like to hear more about, is physical phenomena. So I think she's going to be a great addition to the field reporters for GT. And when things happen, when she goes out on ghost hunts and stuff, she can now call us up or email Scott L. or you and say, because she can email me, but I don't know.
Let's go to break. Hold
tell on. You what, we're going to go to break. We're going to take this call, and we'll be on with our guest, Janice Oberding.
Of a ghost sitting on a stone, sitting in the marble with words unknown. A pale face with blistering eyes, grabs the light in the shadow there lies. And we're cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, getting lost while speaking to the dead. Suddenly an appearance stands on a highlighted painting with ice inside the fluorescent black, and it's running down my back. And we're cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, getting lost while speaking to the dead. Digging the remains, looking for the pieces. He must be insane. The shovel goes deep, 6 feet to hell. Don't you know that buried soul is no longer for sale? And he was cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Cruising the graveyard, wrestling with the shadows. Graveyard, getting lost while speaking to the dead. And he was cruising the graveyard, and it fell into a hole. Cruising the graveyard, and the rest, you know. Now, cruising the graveyard now.
Cold and afraid, and all each book is lost.
That is the sounds of Tone and Niche. We played three songs by Tone and Niche. One is my favorite, or one of my favorites, is "Cruising Through the Graveyard," and that particular song is not on any of his albums, is it? Any of their albums?
It was on his first album. That is really, really hard to find.
Yeah, impossible, I would say.
Yeah, we have it for all of you.
But his other, but yeah, that's one of my favorite songs. And then of course two others from their latest song from Tone and Niche's latest album. You guys go to toneandniche.com and get their music. I'm telling you, this is the kind of music that I personally enjoy. I like folksy music, and that's what they play, and it's all completely independent.
I've been following them. Well, first his music, then their music.
Right.
For over 8 years.
A lot longer than I have, and I tell you, as soon as I heard it, I was hooked.
But I designed his first album cover.
Well, I bought the Tone and Niche self-titled first album when we were out to dinner.
Oh,
remember?
The one where he would find himself.
But yeah, I don't have that one. So anyway, you guys, Tone and Niche, of course, of toneandniche.com, and they're linked up on our website at ghostlytalk.com. This is indeed Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And Scott L., of course, is out of studio right now because he was, kidnapped by aliens and taken to a Queensryche concert. So so you're stuck with just us, too. But we are very, very pleased to have on the telephone a very special guest, someone I've wanted to talk to for quite a while. And so let me introduce her and then bring her right on. Janice Oberding is an authority on Nevada's ghosts and hauntings. She's director of the Nevada Ghosts and Hauntings Research Society, an area rep for the American Ghost Society, and the author of 6 books and countless articles on the paranormal. She teaches classes, lectures on the subject, and this author and researcher has also conducted numerous investigations throughout Nevada. Janice has acted as a consultant for and appeared on several television documentaries on the subject. Most recently, she has acted as a consultant for the 2-4 Productions' Dead Famous series, Frank Sinatra and Marilyn Monroe, for example. She also, and it's not listed here, but I happen to know, she's also involved right now as we speak with the Paranormal Conference that's going on right now in Las Vegas, Nevada. So without further ado, welcome to Ghostly Talk, Janice Oberding.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you, and even gladder to be here in Las Vegas.
Well, I know I love Las Vegas. I don't get out there as often as I would like. And when I do go, I have so many plans, and they all fall to the wayside because Vegas itself seems to be a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week operation, and I get distracted from my ghost hunting. But I would like to eventually go out to some ghost towns and explore the desert and get up to the area, or the, it's not Area 51, it's the other thing, the Air Force base that's all...
Groom Lake.
Groom Lake. I would love to get up there sometime and just, like, hang out for a couple hours at, like, midnight or something and watch the skies.
I don't think you can get too close to Groom Lake.
No, you can't get close to it, but there's evidently areas where people park and watch the skies and obviously don't film or take pictures because they have huge signs that says, don't film or take pictures. There's
right.
pictures of that all over the internet. So, which is kind of funny. You're involved right now. Tell what's going on right now.
Well, my partner Robert Allen and I are here, are both here, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to pass the phone over to him in just a moment, and we're involved with the Las Vegas Paranormal Conference. We've got ghost hunters. We've got UFO hunters. We've got psychics, Sasquatch hunters, Bigfoot. We've got just about everything here at the conference.
That's absolutely amazing. It sounds like the thing that I would want to attend. And I wasn't able to make it out this year, but if you do it again next year,
we plan on doing it.
Well, there
we'll
you go.
We'll do it next year.
All right, all right. How has the reception been? How has the people
been?
It's been
wonderful. And I'm going to pass the phone over to Robert. He actually lives here in Las Vegas.
Oh, excellent.
So I'm going to pass the phone because he does the Las Vegas haunted tours, and I'm going to pass the phone over to him because he's the one that's really been the one putting it all together here in Vegas.
Well, excellent. Okay. Let's talk to Robert then.
Okay, here's Robert.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Robert. You're Robert Allen of the Las Vegas Ghost Tour?
It's called Haunted Vegas Tour and Show.
Haunted Vegas Tour and Show, okay.
And it's been running for a year here in Las Vegas. It runs every Friday through Tuesday. We're dark on Wednesday and Thursday. It is a permanent event. It happens every week.
Excellent.
And we are opening Haunted Reno October 20th, and Janice will have a version of it up in Reno.
Oh, that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
That's one place I've not been yet. I've not been to Reno myself. My brother's been there, but I haven't been
there. Everybody should go to Reno once.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. I know that.
I need to get out there.
I know that I do go to Vegas every now and then. Right. For example, the last time I was there was my brother was going to be married in the late summer, so we went out there in the spring as like a bachelor and bachelorette party. So obviously I was distracted from ghost hunting, so I didn't get to do any ghost hunting.
I can imagine you would be at a bachelor party.
Right. Right.
I don't think there's too many ghosts unless you're talking about hangovers.
Exactly. So it was more of a party atmosphere than a ghost hunting atmosphere. But
can't blame you a bit. If I was at the wedding, I'd be doing that too.
but I did enjoy myself. I absolutely love Las Vegas. And
Well, anytime you're out here, you just give me a call and we'll set you up with a Haunted Vegas tour and show.
Well, and I think everybody should probably do that. I think everybody should check it out.
We've had so many people that write us letters telling us that they've come to Vegas for years and have never done anything so unique and different. And so that's what the appeal is, that it's a different form of entertainment.
And of course, Vegas has just all kinds of stories, even though it's a relatively new city, you know, compared to, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, for example.
Right, forever. Well, part of the reason we have so many hauntings is we're the suicide capital of the world.
Exactly.
And so even though we're a new city, we have a lot of people come here who decide to make it their last hurrah, and then, of course, you know, end it all.
And
we just got some very exciting news. I don't know if Janice told you, but we're doing a ghost hunt tomorrow night.
Wow.
And we had planned to go to Bugsy Siegel's, you know, the Flamingo Hotel.
And then
we were going to go to a park in town that's very haunted by a young boy who appears on the swings in this park. But we got a phone call yesterday, and it turns out that the original Liberace mansion, not the one that everybody knows about, but his first home, which had the big swimming pool that's shaped like a baby grand piano.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, they're renovating that house, and the construction people said that they've been experiencing the piano playing on its own and lights flickering and a big 200-pound statue keeps moving around. So they've invited us to do the ghost hunt there tomorrow night, so we're going to eliminate Bugsy this year, and we're going to do the Liberace ghost hunt, and it's going to be awesome.
Oh, now, okay, and, you know, that's just because I'm not there.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing because you know, once they sell this house, the chances of ever getting in there again are going to be, you know, next to some or never, you know.
Exactly.
So this is just the part. It was the perfect timing. She sent me a letter, said, my father and I are renovating this house, and we've been having weird stuff, and since you're into ghosts, can you recommend somebody who would, you know, come and find out if there really is a ghost here? Well, then I told her we were having the conference this weekend, and it just fit perfectly. She says, oh, God, please come over. And so we're going to bring a ghost investigation group there and about 35 people or maybe 40, and we're going to have a chance to hopefully find Liberace's ghost.
Oh, that is amazing. And you know, that is a timing thing because I'm not, and it's also because I'm not there. If I were there, we'd have to go with the normal plans and, you know, normal ghost
hunts. We would do Ralph Shack, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm teasing you. Where are you actually? What city?
We're in Detroit.
Old stomping grounds. I have relatives in Redford Township.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I grew up in Chicago, but I have a whole side of the family lives in Detroit.
What I like about Detroit, other than, you know, me living here, which is pretty cool, also, we're a little bit less than 5 hours from Toronto, and we're a little bit less than 5 hours from Chicago, and we're about, 5 hours or so from Indianapolis. So we're about 5 hours from everything.
Yeah,
except
that's true.
We're about 4 hours by air from Las Vegas.
So that's good too. That's the most important one.
Oh
right? Gosh,
yes.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I had a band I used to play years ago in a rock and roll band. We played in Flint and Detroit and Dearborn and all over the place.
Oh, you did. This was your stomping grounds then.
It was in the '70s. Yeah, I played rock and roll guitar for a number of years. So.
You know, Scott L. Would love to talk to you then. Scott L. is the co-host. He wasn't able to be here today.
Because
he got kidnapped by aliens and they're actually down in Toledo seeing Queensryche.
I remember those aliens. They worked in the gentleman's club I went to once.
Them are them. Those are the ones.
I can imagine.
They
yeah.
got hold of him and they took it. They're forcing him to go down to Toledo to see Queensryche. Actually,
So
that's what he's up to. He was in a band. He was in a very a moderately successful band. I thought, and I really liked him. And he did the club thing. I mean, they'd go from club to club to club and play special events and everything. And
yeah, did it for many, many years.
Wow.
I wound up in Las Vegas in 75 and hung up the guitar and started doing stand-up comedy out here. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was the comedian in the show Splash for a number of years here.
That's absolutely
amazing. I did 21 different shows here, but then I've always been interested in the paranormal, so... it just gravitated eventually to producing the tour, and now Janice and I are producing this conference, which we're going to do every year, and Janice and I are now partners on the Haunted Reno tour. Plus, we're opening Virginia City Ghost Tours up in Virginia City, Nevada, May 31st. So we'll have three of these things going by summer.
I want Haunted Detroit area as soon as you get a chance.
Well, put that in your spreadsheet. It's like Vietnam with lights.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
There you are. If we don't have ghosts, we make them on the tour.
If you,
we just bump off a few of the passengers.
If you stop the tour bus long enough, eventually you're going to have a
Eventually
ghost.
Somebody will die. Yeah,
like
I got
one,
you.
Yeah, one cycle of a light would do it. And
I'm just teasing. Detroit's a great city.
It's a great city, but we do have our issues, and our issues are cardiac.
Doesn't everybody.
Man.
I'd rather be in Detroit than New Orleans right now, I can tell you that.
Yeah, those folks are really...
Poor people. That's horrible,
man,
isn't it?
That's horrible. That's devastation... Like,
well, that's why I don't like to live in the South. It's just a little too scary.
There's a lot of issues there too. But yeah. I'm telling you, the Haunted Detroit tour there. Put that in your spreadsheet.
I think we should
somewhere.
Work on it. It's a
yeah.
good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could bring up the Ghost of the Temptations or something. We get the Motown Ghost Tour going.
Oh no, that would be cool. That would rock actually. That'd be pretty cool. You could play the music in the bus and everything, and then
uh-huh.
cut over the music with a ghost story or two here and there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we actually what we did was we advertised for the ghost convention here. For some, you know, people who signed up at the last minute, we would give a donation and their name to the Katrina Fund. So we got in out as best we could.
That's
so
fantastic.
Hopefully, that'll help a little bit. You never know.
Very
it
noble.
Might buy Bill Clinton a cigar. Who knows? You never know.
It could do that, or or it could feed some of these kids, because I see some of the kids.
No,
I'm
teasing, of
like...
course. We send it because we want to do some good.
Exactly.
I can't stop being a comic. You know that.
Oh, I understand. I understand. I have a question, okay. though.
Sure.
How is the conference going?
Wonderful. Better than we expected. I mean, people are just having a ball. We wound up with more people than we anticipated, so you can't complain about that. You know, we thought we'd get around 40, and we wound up with about 86.
Amazing.
And we think next year we'll double that, so...
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I know I'll be yeah. there, so that'll be... I'll
well, we
be
can't
worth
wait to
or,
have you here.
I'll be
love
worth two or
person.
Four, you know. but I'm telling you, it's such an easy city to get to, right?
Oh,
Las Vegas.
The best airfares in the world has come to Las Vegas, the cheapest place. It's just not cheap for us to come to where you are.
Right.
Words, if you're flying into Vegas, the fares are cheap. It's coming out of Vegas, we get nailed over the head with it.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
They so make up all the money they give you guys to hit us for the locals.
Going the other way. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
But there's so much to do and see there that adding something like this to the mix, like your haunted tours and a paranormal conference, just makes it all that much more attractive to me.
It certainly is.
And so you get off the beaten path with your tour, right?
Oh, yeah. We take them to 16 of the 21 haunted locations here in town, which includes Red Fox's house, Liberace's restaurant, a haunted park, Tupac Shakur's death scene. We take them all over the place.
Wow.
It's not on the Strip. We're taking them to places they never even knew existed in Las Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you, of course, go over the stories and you...
Oh, we tell them all about it. We get out of the bus when we do a little dowsing, and there's a tree there that's haunted, so they go over there and they experience... So some people have actually gotten, like, they feel like there's an electricity or a wave pattern coming from the tree.
Oh, yeah, if there's a vortex there, you'll feel it.
Yeah, they feel there's something going on there, yeah.
And this has been going on for a year.
Uh-huh. August 26th was our first year. So a little bit over a year now. Yeah.
That's why I didn't know about it. Because the last time I was in Vegas was just before August.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't start it till August 26th. And we didn't know if it was going to last. You know, we thought, well, if we can get a couple of months out of it. But it's just going gangbusters. We sell out the bus pretty much most of the nights.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And 50, so
we had started out with 7 and 8 people a night. Now we're up to the 58-seat bus, so... We anticipate Haunted Reno to do the same kind of thing.
You're
going to
have, like, so you're going to need double-decker buses and everything.
Well, eventually I'd like to look into those double-decker buses. They'd be fun, yeah.
That would be really cool.
There you go. I'll get one into Detroit, and you can tell me where to go.
All right. We'll put Will on that case, because he is, like, our encyclopedia of haunting the Detroit area.
Okay.
I have a question, then.
Okay.
I'm going to ask, and I'll let you explain, like, all the cool stuff and everything that's going on at the conference. But first, I want to know, because you're in the middle of it now, right? It's like going on.
Yep.
What have you learned? Because I know when we've planned things, right, big things and small things, and we've planned things, and almost every time we'd forget something or something wouldn't happen exactly the way we envisioned it, like registration could go a million times smoother or this or that. What have you learned first?
Wear
and then
comfortable
we'll talk about
shoes.
Okay, yes, I agree with that.
That's one of the things we learned. Our feet are killing us.
Oh, I can imagine.
We dressed in really nice suits and fancy clothes. We're both going, I think I wish I had my tennis shoes here. It's standing on your feet all day. You know, I've been here since 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, it's already here. It's like 5 o'clock, so.
Wow.
It's been a long day, and we still got to go till midnight, so.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Comfortable shoes is something I should have remembered.
Comfortable shoes. Okay, that's number one.
Yeah, I'm teasing, but I mean it. It's
rough on the feet. I used to go every single year to the, in Las Vegas, they had a thing, I think it still goes on, but it's much different than it used to be. I used to go in its heyday at the thing called Comdex.